Now, my guest at the moment is Karen Heaney, who with Jenny Bell, well, you've written a lovely guidebook, haven't you?
We have indeed.
Just give us a title.
It's called 111 Places in Dorset You Shouldn't Miss.
Yeah, and it's got all sorts of unusual places you've managed to find as well.
Yeah, so our brief was to kind of avoid the obvious touristy locations and come up with places that maybe only insiders knew about. So we hope we've ticked that box. But yes, 111 places you shouldn't miss in Dorset.
So you've written this with Jenny, and how did that work? I think Jenny did the photos, did she?
She did, yes. So Jenny and I met a few years ago. We were both students on a Masters in Travel and Nature Writing course at Bath Spa University, and we discovered that we both lived in Dorset, and we both were quite interested in quirky things about the county that we lived in. So when we graduated, we thought we'd try and collaborate on something, and the guidebook is the result. So Jenny, I have a big shout out to Jenny here, because she did all the photography. So that was an enormous job. That's 109 photos, because a couple were supplied, but we shared the writing, but Jenny did the photographs.
Just tell us, how did you come to write this book? It's quite an interesting story, actually.
Yeah, so the publisher is actually based in Germany, but they're international, and this 111 Places series, I think there are actually 500 titles in total. So we had a look to see what they'd already published, and we could see that they'd done a guide to Bournemouth and a guide to Poole, but there was no guide to Dorset, so this felt like an opportunity. So we pitched the idea of a Dorset guidebook, and the publishers ran with it. So it was, you know, that was very encouraging, but it was quite a long pitch process. So we started with just, you know, some sample chapters and a long list of what we wanted to include, and took it from there.
It's quite interesting. You were just telling me a minute ago about how much they asked you to do before you actually got signed up to write the book.
Oh, yes. Well, we had to come up with a list of 111 places. The list wasn't set in stone, but we had to come up with that number. And then they asked us to produce some sample chapters and also some sample photography. And once they'd had a look at that, then they gave us the go-ahead to come up with a firm list, and off we went.
Because it is quite a lot of work to do before you've actually been signed up to do the book.
Yes, it's quite an investment of time and energy before you get the green light. But I guess they have quite a high bar, so they want to know that you can deliver at the end of it. So, yeah.
Now, you're not originally from Dorset, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm an incomer from London a while back, 7 years ago, but we had family holidays in Dorset for many years, so I felt like it was my kind of second home county.
Yeah. But how did you find all these places then? If you're not a Dorset person, how did you come up with them?
Well, there was a lot of research. Jenny, my co-author and photographer, has lived in Dorset for a very long time, and she lives in the northeast corner, and I live in the southwest corner, so we had quite a good geographic spread to start with. So we started with the places that we already kind of knew and were familiar with and had found something interesting to say about. And then we did loads and loads and loads of research, and we asked everyone we came across to recommend things, and kind of expanded our list that way. But research was a very big part of the job, and visiting places and getting a sense of if there was something interesting to say, talking to people. So yeah,
because they are places, a lot of them are places that people, even local people, may not know about.
Yes, we it was a bit of a challenge actually, because there were a few well-known places, but we had to include something interesting or unknown about them. But we did manage to find some quite out-of-the-way things. For example, we came across a Tiddy cave, which turns out to be a kind of ancient fridge. It's a cellar in a bank in a remote bit of woodland near Sherborne with a iron gate across it, and it looks like it could be anything, like a prison cell or something, but it was where they used to store potatoes to stop them going green. And it dates back to the 18th century, and there was a story related to Walter Raleigh around it, because he lived at Sherborne Abbey. But so that was one of the quirkier places that we found.
It's all very interesting. And do you have to get permission of anybody to some of these places?
Yes, you do. And that was one of the things that we discovered doing this book. There's quite a lot of paperwork involved. So if something we wanted to write about was on private land, obviously we had to get permission from the landowner. If we wanted to photograph something that was on private land, if we weren't on a public right-of-way, we had to get permission for that too. So there was quite a lot of back and forth with landowners and people we featured, just to make sure they were happy to be included, and they had to sign permission forms. So that took quite a lot of time as well.
Did you get anybody who objected? Or?
Actually, we didn't. I think people generally like to be included, and you know, we're not doing anything. We're not investigative journalists trying to turn up a story about them. It's really just celebrating a place or a monument or something that's...
It would be quite cool to have your place included in the book, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, people were generally thrilled because there are quite a number of local kind of cafes or museums or places that actually want to be exposed anyway. They want people to know about them and what they do.
Oh, I think I remember seeing something in one of the write-ups. You've got Dorset's answer to Stonehenge. Now, I think I might know where this is.
Yes.
Is that the one at Worth M'Travers? Is that it?
No, it's actually the one at Blackdown near Portisham.
Oh, wow.
Yes, near the Hardy Monument. And it's like it is like a mini Stonehenge, and it was commissioned as part of the South Dorset Ridgeway project that ran a few years ago, trying to encourage people to get up onto the Ridgeway and explore that bit of the Jurassic Coast. And they commissioned a local sculptor to create this little mini henge. So yeah.
Well, there you go. I thought I guessed it correctly then. Yeah, well, maybe that's one for the next book.
Yes.
What's your favourite little surprise that you found when you were doing the book?
My favourite surprise is actually not very far from here, at a place, well, it's really in the middle of nowhere, but the nearest village is Godmanstone, and it's called Forsey's Tower, and it's actually a sculpture. It looks like a spire of a church. It has a bell inside. It's about 15 feet high, and it's at the bottom of this deserted valley next to a ruined farmstead. And it's a sculpture that was commissioned by an environmental charity to celebrate more environmental ways of farming, because the farm fell into disuse about 100 years ago. So it's very peaceful and very atmospheric, and there's a little plaque that encourages you to ring the bell to commemorate a past way of life. And that felt very Dorset.
You say in the when I saw online, you say nice things about Dorset people. You say we're friendly, aren't we?
You're very friendly. The pace of life here, apart from high holiday season, is much quieter, and people seem to have more time to chat and genuinely interested in what you're doing, why you're here. So that's one of the great things I think about living and working in Dorset is the sense of everyone has time for each other.
I think you got a job for the Dorset Tourist Board. And have you got any ideas for another book?
One or two sort of swirling away in the background. Nothing concrete as yet, but there are lots of things that we couldn't include because we didn't have room. We could have done 333 places in Dorset you shouldn't visit. So I think we might mop up some of the things that we haven't been able to include in another book of some sort.
And that'll be with Jenny again.
I hope so.
So I've seen your book in the shop window in Dorchester. What's the name of the shop?
It's Teasel and Skylark.
Yes. So what does that feel like when you see your book in the shop window, or you go in the bookshop and there it is on the shelf? How does that feel?
It's a great thrill. It's when you're writing a book, you're often on your own, stuck behind your computer, and the idea that there might be one day something out there in the wild in kind of concrete form is very exciting. And when you see it for the first time, it's a big buzz.
And the first time you've got it in your hands, and you're a bit nervous as well, I guess.
Always a bit nervous. Yeah. You have just make sure that everything is where it should be. You know, you do thousands of checks before it goes to print, but there's always just that heart in mouth moment. But no, it's wonderful to have something that you can actually hold and pass on and enjoy.
Okay, tell the listeners the title again and whereabouts they can get hold of a copy.
So it's called 111 Places in Dorset You Shouldn't Miss, and it's available in all good bookshops and online.
Including the one in Dorchester.
Oh yes, Teasel and Skylark, who have been very kind in promoting the book for us, so big shout out to them as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.